So today, we set aside the time to focus once a quarter on communion, on the ordinance that Jesus commanded for the local church. A local church has two ordinances that have been commanded. One is the Lord's Supper, and the other is baptism. Those are the only two commandments Jesus gave for the church to participate in as we await His return. And so once a quarter, we put on the calendar the opportunity to focus on and memorialize Jesus' death and observe the Lord's Supper. Now, ideally, we would have done this on Palm Sunday before Easter, but I did not want to stop in chapter 10 of Revelation. I wanted to finish that, so we're on the backside of Easter. But I think it's going to be okay today. We're going to look today as we prepare for the Lord's Supper at this kind of this command to go quickly and tell. Now, last week, if you want to turn there to Matthew chapter 28, last week we looked at Matthew 28 in the Easter account that Matthew recorded when women go to the tomb and don't see the body, and kind of looked at some of that. And what I want to do with the Lord's Supper is now let's look on the back side of Easter. And you're going to find that something Jesus gave right after what we call Easter is going to become our main thrust as a church, as His kingdom, as people who follow Him. So let me start off by saying this, and I hope you'll agree when I say this. The story of Easter does no good if people don't hear about it. Does that make sense today? You can celebrate Easter all you want. And you can wear pink and yellow and get dressed up. And even some of the guys throw pink shirts on Easter. Saw it last Sunday. I don't know if I do pink too well, but I might try one day. I told somebody, you all remember, if you've been here for a while, one of our beloved patriarchal saints here at the church named Joe Rogers. And Joe Rogers, the only man I know of in my life that could pull off all white. And it was nothing on Easter, Mother's Day. Here comes Joe, white shoes, white pants, white belt, white shirt, white tie. And there's Joe rolling in, trying to find somebody to take out to lunch, maybe. But nonetheless, the man knew how to dress, did he not? And so some of you dress real pretty on Easter. You dress pretty every Sunday and every day take care of yourself. And I'm just going to tell you this. If you've got a sanctuary full of Easter lilies, and if you've got a presentation of the Easter story and a pageant, and you've got the greatest sermon ever on Easter, and you go home and somebody gives you the largest chunk of chocolate for Easter, if we can go into the secular world for just a minute, and you do everything with Easter right, the truth of the matter is this, if nobody hears about the Easter story, it really doesn't matter. Okay? So here's what's interesting now with the Easter story. Matthew chapter 28. Let me find my place there. You're probably there already. Last week we looked at the Easter story. Now here is my question as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. Right after Easter, what did Jesus tell His disciples? The clue is in the title today. And you're going to also find it down in verse 7. Let's read a couple of verses there. Then we're going to go to the end of the book. And we're going to focus today on the whole topic of telling people about Easter. That's called evangelism. In verse 7, after the women are told that Jesus is not here, He is risen, then the command is from the angel to go quickly and tell. Now see that? It's not only a command, but it is a command with urgency. So go quickly and tell His disciples that Jesus is risen from the dead. Behold, He's going before you into Galilee, and there you'll see Him. And lo, I've told you. Remember last week we looked at how the angel had fulfilled his ministry duty for that day. He checks off that for the day, signs out and says, I'm done. I've told you, I've done my job. The Bible says in verse 8 that those women, when they got that command to go quickly and tell, the Bible says, and they departed quickly from that tomb, from that sepulcher, they ran away with fear and great joy, and they ran and brought the disciples word that Jesus had been raised from the dead. Now, right after Easter, I mean, within minutes of discovering that the tomb was empty, they received the command, go quickly and tell. Now, here's the next question. When they go to Galilee, and they see the risen Jesus and they talk with him, what is a first thing Jesus tells them on Easter day? We now look in verse 18. We get now to the end of Matthew chapter 28. The Bible says they saw Jesus in verse 17. They worshipped him, but some still doubted. And here's what Jesus gave to them the very same Easter day. Jesus came and he spoke to those disciples, and this is what he said: "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth." And here's the next word: go. Okay, there is a command after Easter. Remember, the ladies had the command, go quickly and tell. Jesus says to his disciples, go ye therefore. Ye is a plural form of you, so that's kind of like y'all, like all of y'all go. All of y'all go therefore and teach all nations. In other words, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And Jesus says to his disciples, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world or end of the age. Amen. Now, verses 18 through 20 on the backside of Easter are known as the Great Commission. It's not the Great Suggestion. It is a Great Commission. It is a command Jesus gives for us to evangelize and share the story of Easter. Now don't forget, the story of Easter does no good if people don't hear about it, right? So Jesus says, once he rises from the grave, now go quickly and tell. Okay, go to all nations and make disciples and teach them everything I've commanded you. That is a marching orders for the church. And what I want us to focus on today with the Lord's Supper is thinking about our task of sharing the Easter story. It's tied into, of course, the death of Christ with his body being broken and his blood being spilled, and it's simply called evangelism. Now, I'm going to tell you ahead of time, we're going to walk through these verses super, super quick, and then I'm going to turn topical. Shame on me. I'm going to turn topical, and I'm going to give you several practical tools to help you evangelize lost people. That's where we're going today. So let's go back to verse 18. And let's make a few comments, and then we're going to do some application at the end. So the Bible says that Jesus came there to those disciples, spoke to them, and he said, I have all power, all authority. Jesus can do whatever he pleases. Now, I want you to think about, sometimes we read about people's last words. And sometimes last words can be a little bit comical. But I want you to think about when Jesus is now, He's risen from the grave and he's going to ascend back to the Father, and he could have given us anything for his last words. But what Jesus gives us is a command to tell people about him. Right? He has all authority, can do anything he wants to do, could have commanded us to tell anything he wanted us to tell and share, and yet his command in verse 18, or the power is given to him in verse 18 for the command in verse 19 for us to go. Adrian Rogers years ago said that based on the authority Jesus has and the power that is his, in verse 18, he said the power of the gospel then, right? The good news that Jesus died and rose from the dead. He said it will go through his kingdom like a Whitehall cannonball through a crate of eggs. It is the authority Jesus has to command us to go in the power of the Holy Spirit and share the gospel. Now here's what he says in verse 19. I want y'all to go. Right? He not only calls us to come to him, he also calls us to go for him. So it's a command. I want you to go, therefore. And notice too, he's speaking here to the disciples. This is not a command only for the pastors. It's not a command only for the missionaries. It is a command for every single follower of Jesus to go. And what are you supposed to do? Go therefore and teach. Some translations say make disciples, because the word disciple means one who is taught. So make disciples or teach. And notice it is all nations. Now the only actual imperative in the verses is the word make disciples or to teach. Everything else is dependent on that. So in other words, what he's saying is, as you are going, Make disciples, right? As you are going to the supermarket, as you are going to the workplace, as you are going to the park, as you are going overseas for missions work, as you are going, the command is make disciples and teach. And he says it is to be shared with all nations without distinction. Now, why is that important? And now we're moving now from like our North American mission board to our international mission board for us as a church. But why is it important we go to every single nation, every single people group? Well, recall what Jesus said. I'm going to put it up on the screen for you this morning. Chapter 24, verse 14 of Matthew. Jesus said this. This gospel of the kingdom, the reign of God, the story of Jesus, the story of Easter, this gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached in all the world. For a witness to all nations, right? Every people group. Wednesday nights, when I put the map up, we pray for our missionaries. Every single nation on that map, every people group on that map, he says, this gospel is going to be preached in all the world, a witness to all nations. And at that point, then shall the end come. So it's crucial, right? It's a command we've been given to evangelize and share the story of Easter with people all over the world, starting with where we live. It goes on in verse 19. As you're going, teach and make disciples, and then dependent on that, notice after conversion, then comes a baptizing. And after you make disciples, then baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This is dependent on the making disciples part. You never in the Bible find people being baptized before they're saved. Right? It's always believer's baptism. You believe and then you're baptized. It's a first step of obedience and a public declaration of your faith. So this is Jesus' command. As you're going, make disciples, teach the people, teach the nations, baptize them. And the third aspect of the Great Commission in verse 20 is to teach them. Evangelize, baptize, educate. Right? That's a purpose of, primary purposes of a church. To teach them, he says, to observe all things I've commanded you. Leave nothing out. And I like to say that even though Jesus may not be here physically, if you have a Bible, then what he's saying is everything in your B-I-B-L-E is to be taught to the nations, to be taught to the people of the world. This is part of the message. Teach them to observe everything whatsoever I have commanded you. And then he gives a promise. I am with you. Promise of His presence. I am with you through the Holy Spirit. I am with you. And He says, I am with you always. The whole of the day. Did you know, just in case you need this today, He's with you on all sorts of days. You say, well, I knew He's with me in the good days. It just feels good, right? I just feel more joyful, feel more lighter. I'm so glad God is with me in the good days. But you know what? He's with you on the bad days too. He's with you when you go to the doctor's office and you're scared of the results. And we've all been there. He's with you when you go to the funeral home and you're broken and you're hurting and you're grieving. No matter the type of day, what comes in that day, Jesus says, and I will be with you always as you engage in sharing the story of Easter. That's kind of what he does. And he says, it's not only with you always, and he says, even to the end of the world, the end of history as we know it. Now, that is the Great Commission. That Great Commission in Matthew is so important that it's actually in five different passages in five different books of your Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the book of Acts all contain Jesus' command to go and evangelize. So here's what I want to switch now to more of a topical approach to this and give you some practical tools when it comes to evangelism. We'll tie it into the Lord's Supper. Here's the truth, so I hope you're ready for this. Latest statistics indicate 95% of Southern Baptists will live and die and not tell one person how to be saved. Now, I choose specifically Southern Baptists because we are known as an evangelistic group of churches. Most churches aren't. But Southern Baptist Convention is known for missions and evangelism and outreach. And I'm telling you this, if the most evangelistic denomination in America has 95% of those who claim to be members of Southern Baptist churches, and they live their lives, and they die, and never tell one person how to be saved,
That's a lot of disobedience to the Great Commandment, Great Commission. And it's not easy, right? It is not easy in this world. So here's what I want to do as we kind of tie into the Lord's Supper. Today, with it being after Easter, Lord's Supper emphasis, I'm going to give you probably four very simple methods of sharing the story of Easter, or sharing the gospel, sharing the good news. And these are some I've accumulated through the years. One we just picked up in January, Zoe, at our YEC meeting, which I'd never heard before, but they're really simple. I'm going to tell you ahead of time, as I go through these really quick, that you're probably not going to have time to write all this down. So, if you want any of this, let me know, and I will get you any of these outlines that I'm going to present, or you can go online, listen later, and you can jot it down. But I'm going to give you just four really quick practical ways of sharing the gospel. Okay. You need to always have something in mind. Something in mind that you can easily turn to, you've got memorized, that you can use to share the story of Easter, to share the story of the gospel. This is a command with a great commission. So let me start with this. This is something I have used many, many times. And all you have to do is memorize four little phrases or key points. This blue gospel tract that I think when I first got saved is one that somebody gave me, says, "Do you know for certain that you have eternal life and that you will go to heaven when you die?" Now, what I did from this book, there are four primary points in this book. And I have memorized these for me, and they go like this. God's got a purpose. You've got a problem. God's got a provision. You need to respond to it. I mean, that's a simple outline for the gospel. Now, I put up here, of course, God's purpose is eternal life. Wants everybody to be saved, everybody to be in heaven. Our problem is sin, right? We're separated from God. We disobey God. God's provision is a cross and the empty grave. And then the last part is we've got to respond to that. And the response to the gospel is always the same. Two things have to be present for a person to be saved: repentance and faith. Repent and believe. Okay, that's over and over in the Bible. So I have used this many, many times. If you've been at a funeral service that I have spoken at, I don't say the exact words, but I sometimes use this outline as I share the gospel at the end of a funeral. Very short, very easy for me to remember. God's got a purpose. We got a problem. God's got a provision. We got to respond to it. Okay, and that's coming straight from this little blue booklet. If you want some of these, we'll get those, and you can use that to evangelize. So that's one method that's very simple that I've memorized for me that has helped a lot. Now, second method is something called the ABCs. If this is something that helps you think about, if I'm talking to somebody, I'm trying to evangelize, doing the Great Commission, but in my brain it's hard to tell them what do they need to do to be saved. Every month or every quarter, our state convention puts out a magazine called Proclaimer. And inside of that Proclaimer, they put the ABCs in every single time. So if you want to think about it this way, you're talking to somebody and you're sharing how to be saved. This is a very easy way of doing it. Number one, you got to admit you're a sinner. It all starts there, right? It's almost like the other problem I mentioned earlier. We are sinful people. We're separated from God. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe. Believe that Jesus died and rose again. That's the faith part. And if that makes sense to you, then let her see me, then commit your life to following Christ. Commit your life to trusting Christ. Now, this is so simple. We've used this before for Vacation Bible School years ago, the ABCs of the gospel. And if you remember those three letters, it'll help you kind of go through to tell a person how to be saved. Admit you're a sinner, believe Jesus died and rose again, and then just commit yourself to trusting in Him. See, it's that simple, right? You don't need a PhD, and you don't need a long carrot long, stretched out outline. If you know how to be saved, you know enough to tell somebody else how to be saved. And this is just a little outline to help you as you go through that. The third example you may not be familiar with, James Merritt, great, great preacher. I shared one of his video sermons here a couple years ago. Y'all really enjoyed it a lot. James Merritt is an evangelist. He is a great, he's a great preacher. I love hearing him. One of my favorite preachers in our country. And James Merritt, several years ago, came up with a way he shares the gospel based on the word news. And when he goes through how to share with somebody the story of Easter, the gospel, he says that there is bad news, the worst news, there's good news, and the best news. Okay, y'all, you just remember, if you just want to choose that, I'm going to remember those four
little words there. It can help me share with a person how to be saved. So he does it like this. He said, the bad news is you are a sinner separated from God. That is bad news. Nobody wants to be separated from God. It's a bad place to be. But he said, the worst news is there's nothing you can do about it. You are absolutely helpless. You cannot save yourself. But he says, the good news is Jesus died for us to do what we could not do for ourselves with the cross and the resurrection. And then Dr. Merritt says, when he shares the gospel with somebody, then he says, and the best news is it's absolutely free. All you got to do is accept it. Very simple outline. If that works for you, you don't have to memorize all of this, but just pick something so you're ready to share with somebody how they can be saved. So that's James Merritt's approach. I thought it was a good approach, very simple. Now the fourth approach, I just learned in January. And I ought to get Zoe to come up here and share this because she was at our YEC with our youth. I'd never seen this before. A guy named Ryan Fontenot, I think is how you pronounce his name, sounds French to me if I've got that correct. He was preaching at our youth evangelism conference back in January. And he gave to the youth, he said, you can use your phone and you can share the gospel with anybody using four emojis. Now, if you don't know what an emoji is, I'm not real sure either, but it's these little pictures that pop up on the phone. And so he said, use a heart, division, symbol, cross, and a question mark. And you can share the gospel with anybody. And this is how he breaks it down. He said, the heart stands for love. God is love, right? That's God's purpose. He loves you. He wants you to have eternal life. That's the love of God for us. The division symbol stands for sin. Sin separates us from God. It's rebellion against God. The cross obviously stands for Jesus, and he says that with the cross, there is hope, and his name is Jesus. The question mark obviously stands for a decision, and there it is, what will you do with Jesus? I got to tell you, this is pretty slick. It's easy. It's simple. And if you are engaged with people in a generation where all they do is screen life, you might find it very, very helpful to use it as you evangelize and say, if I can show you a heart, show you a division symbol, show you a cross, and show you a question mark, I can tell you how to be saved. That's what he taught our youth back in January. So what I'm saying is, if this is a command for us, and 95% of Southern Baptists live and die and don't ever share the gospel, there are tools out there and methods that make it very, very easy to know what to say when it comes to the gospel. This is a great commission. After Easter, right, when they got there and they saw Jesus alive, what did he say? He said, go and tell. Go quickly and tell. Evangelize. And that has been the marching orders for the church ever since the first century. And it still is today. So I'm going to say that nothing else you do in life is going to matter as much as helping people come to establish a relationship with God. There's nothing you're going to do that's going to help as much as helping people come to know God. Nothing. So let me get you to think about it this way. And I shared this some years ago, and this is very convicting. It's very convicting for me. But let's close with this thought. We're going to tie this into the Lord's Supper today. I want you to think about your world right now. Your friends, your family members, your co-workers, acquaintances, neighbors, whoever's in your world right now. And I want you to imagine that you are the only Christian in your world. Okay, so there's not a neighbor, family member, friend, acquaintance. None of these people are saved. You're the only Christian in that entire circle of influence. Now, here's a question, and this is convicting. It's very convicting for me. And here's a question. What are the odds of people in your world coming to Christ based on your current level of witnessing? If you're like me, you don't like that answer a whole lot. This is a marching orders of the church. Personal evangelism, basically sharing the Easter story. 95% live and die, don't ever share it with another person how to be saved.
And if you were to take yourself as the only Christian, what are the odds at your current level of witnessing that any of them would ever become a Christian? That's why I'm giving to you and reminding me of four simple, simple outlines to help you share the truth of the Easter story with other people. The Lord's Supper reminds us that it all comes down to a cross. Jesus died there. His body was broken there. His blood was spilled there. And it was all so that people could know God and could have sins forgiven. So today, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, I'm going to leave us with one final reminder about life and eternity. And then we're going to focus more directly on the Lord's Supper. But I'm going to tell you this in case you haven't realized it. Every single person is going to spend eternity in either heaven or hell. That's the bottom line. Every single person is going to spend eternity either with God or away from God. And it all comes down to what they do with what the Lord's Supper represents. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, this is where Paul addresses the Lord's Supper for the church. And we're going to look at those verses as we partake in just a minute. But let me read something to you. As we prepare today to partake, I want to remind you this is not just a little religious exercise. It's got great significance, of course, with the body of Christ, blood that was spilled. And Paul says to this church in Corinth, he says, "Therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a person examine himself, and then let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." The reason that I share this is when we partake of the Lord's Supper, this is a very, very serious matter. And the Bible says we need to be prepared for partaking. And I say this a lot, but if this were the church in Corinth, Paul looked out the windows, because they just replaced the windows in their church in Corinth a couple months ago. He looked out the windows and saw the cemetery. And he said, "I'm going to tell y'all in the church of Corinth," he says, "some of y'all have gotten sick because you're not partaking in a worthy manner." And he says, "I hate to say this, but some of the members of the church in Corinth, they're in the cemetery now just because they did not partake in a worthy manner." So it's very serious business when it comes to the Lord's Supper. And so what we always do here at the church is we want to make sure that we've prayed, we've asked God to cleanse us and put us in a place where we can partake in a worthy manner. It does not mean that you'll ever be worthy to partake. None of us will ever be worthy to partake. But what we do is we ask God, "Is there anything between me and my Heavenly Father this morning? Is there anything that stands in the way of me being able to partake in a worthy manner?" And so in a moment, we're going to bow together, we're going to pray together, and we're just going to have a time to think about that and pray about that and say, "Lord, if there's anything in my life right now that's not pleasing to you, I ask for forgiveness. Cleanse me so I can partake in a worthy manner." And I will say this, if you're at a place in life where you don't feel like you're in a good place with God, then my suggestion would be to abstain and not partake today. I mean, it's nothing wrong with that. You want to be honest before God. But if we pray and ask Him for cleansing and forgiveness, then we can partake in a worthy manner. And secondly, it may be that if you're not saved and you're amongst us today, this is an ordinance for Christian people. And if you're not saved, then this may be the opportunity as God's given you today to respond to the gospel and say, "Lord, I don't understand it all, but I know I need to be saved. And so today, here after Easter in 2024, I'm going to nail down a decision for you. And I'm going to do like we saw from the board. I recognize that I'm a sinner being separated from you. Jesus died for me, rose again. And yes, I want to take Him as my Savior." So that may be your decision today before we partake, if you're not saved, to get that nailed down. But let's bow as we prepare today.
our hearts for the Lord's Supper. And this is just going to be a quiet time to think and reflect and prepare our hearts and to pray. And I want you to ask yourself as you kind of think about this, is your heart clean today? Is there anything between you and your Heavenly Father that would prevent you from partaking in a worthy manner? If there's sin in your life, you're in a good place today. For the Bible says that we can confess sin and God will forgive us based on the broken body and the spilled blood of Jesus. So we're asking ourselves today, number one, am I saved? Is my faith in Christ? Am I a believer? If not, then during this time, you can utter a prayer unto salvation and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And Jesus died for me, and I'm confessing my sin, repenting of my sin, and simply trusting in Christ today. I'm becoming a Christian. I'm becoming a new person today. And if you are a believer, then you're asking yourself, is there anything between me and God today that I need to deal with and ask His forgiveness? So as we pray and as we think through this, I'm going to be quiet. Altar area is also available if you need to come today to pray at the altar. And after a moment of prayer and preparation, then we'll partake together as we observe this ordinance.